This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, hola, kia to all our PNG listeners and to everyone else. Welcome to Nijan Footy, your go-to place to keep up with the best Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is the Cook Island Rugby League master, Tinirao Arona. T, another jam-packed episode, mate. Welcome back.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to you listening here on Nijan Footy. We have a fun episode,
I think,
Sammy.
It's, yes.
I got a couple good segments in this show for you. But coming up, we have only less than 3 weeks out from the Rugby World Cup. We have the flying Fijian legend, Kampisi Maafu. Him and his two brothers have represented Fiji, Tonga and the Wallabies. So we'll be having a good chat with Kampisi in this episode here on Nijan Footy. But we also have the Nijan Master Chef.
Yes!
Because someone wanted to challenge me last week to bring in some potato salad, a Cook Island favorite dish, the Minus. So I've prepared that for you. And, us Cook Islanders don't just do simple plates, so I had to bring in a couple sides for you as well.
I know, mate. And I haven't eaten anything today, so just been waiting for this moment. So I'm looking forward to it, T.
And then at the end, we're going back to Nijan knowledge, and I got a little surprise for you.
And I'm not looking forward to that.
Moment of the week.
Here on Nijan Footy, each week we like to start with our moment. And, oh man, for the Arona family, it was one of the best footy weekends or footy moments we've ever had.
Talk to me.
So I played on the weekend in the Ron Massey Cup for the Wenny Magpies at 1 p.m. We got the win to make the grand final in the Ron Massey Cup. So in 2 weeks, we'll be playing in the grand final. So congratulations to the Wenny Magpies. But
to yourself, no pats on the back.
And not me, my teammates and my organization in the club. But at 3:20 p.m. was the big event. So I've gone to the coach and I've gone, coach, we have to quickly go in there, sing the song. I've got to quickly run up the road. He's like, what's going on? I go, oh, my sons have their grand final. So my sons, the St. Clair Comets, under 13s, Division 2, they had their grand final and won the game in the last few minutes. So I managed to, after our game, go in the sheds, sing the song, grab my bags, no shower, just grab some deodorant, spray it on. And I've been helping the team this year with the yellow shirt and a bit of coaching during the weekend. Just the moment after the game to see all the smiles and just that sense of achievement. But one of my proudest moments as a father was when I've run over with the trainers, with the guys on the bench. I've got twin boys, so one was running with me next to me, running into the rest of the teammates. We're all cheering, hugging each other, and I've gone to look for my other son. And I've gone, where is he? And I've looked over, and then the other team were down. You know, there were a few tears, under 13 boys. So a few tears, a few sad faces. But my son actually was walking over to, go wrap his arm around. And I've just looked over and go,
stop it.
That moment there, that moment will stay with me for the rest of my life. So, yeah, it was a proud father moment. And also for the Arona family, my brother, Big Deezer, he got the win in his A-grade grand semi-final. So he also plays in the grand final. So like I said, it was a huge weekend for the Arona family. And I'm just really happy to have that moment over the weekend. And we're all very proud. So congratulations.
Big shout out to the Arona family. Well done.
Hi, it's Maima Dalfa. I'm on the Camera Raiders. You're here listening to Nijan Footy.
Sammy, in the NRL, we are getting to the business end of the season. But before I carry on, a huge congratulations to the Tongan international legend, Jason Taumalolo, who played his 250th NRL game for the Cowboys. So congratulations. And
did I see him walk out with his dog?
Yes.
He did. You see, mate, it's like, how good sometimes you walk out with your kids or your partner. Man, that dog must be special, that's for sure. So congrats to the big man, Jason Taumalolo. Well done.
Well done, Jace. A few teams are playing to stay alive and play finals footy. I did do my research, but there are so many different scenarios that could still play out. But here's my prediction. Next week, the Roosters will beat the Tigers, Souths have a bye, and both the Roosters and the Souths will be playing for the last spot in the top eight in 2 weeks' time. So if the Cowboys lose to either the Dolphins or the Panthers in the next 2 weeks, that game's a crucial game for both the Roosters and the Souths.
So you're saying that one of those teams will be missing out?
So if Roosters win next week, Souths have a bye, they'll both be on 30 points. 32, and then there's 2 points off of grabs. 32 points will make the top eight.
Ooh.
So, yes, interesting finish to the season for them two teams. Now, speaking about my beloved Sydney Roosters, my top headline is Nostraronas cause it.
What did you call me?
Nostraronas.
I see what you've done here, though. Nostradamus, the famous French philosopher, I think. Somewhere like that. He predicts the future.
I only say this. True. So remember a few weeks ago I said the Roosters will win the rest of their games to make the top eight? And you go, are you calling it? I said, yes, I will call it. So Nostra Aronis, that's my new name. They won their third straight game against the Eels, 34-12. It was a real masterclass on the right, on the Roosters' right edge. Luke Carey and James Tedesco getting some good service to Cook Islander Joseph Manu and Samoan Joseph Suoli'i, who also scored a double. Tongan international Daniel Tupou was a meter eater, taking 17 carries and running for 233 meters. I also think the 24-year-old Samoan Terrell May deserves recognition. He's made a huge impact off the bench for the Roosters the last few weeks. Really strong carries, also had three offloads in this game. And finally, it was good to see young Fijian Butty superstar Siwa Wong score his second try after only six games in the NRL for the red, white and blue.
Turns it back inside the Butcher. Straight past Barlaw. He's half a metre out. He beat Barlaw and Gutherson and gets up hobbling. Plays it. It comes to the right. The ball on the ground. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Picked up by Siwa Wong and he scores. The ball was on the ground for Bailey Simonson and he dived over it. And Siwa Wong said, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
My next headline, the never-ending night. With seven straight wins, the in-form, on-fire Newcastle Knights beat the Rabbitohs 29-10. Kalen Ponga has been unreal for the Knights. I think him not playing State of Origin has been a blessing for Newcastle because Ponga is back to doing Ponga things. I think they'll be safe in the eight now, depending on the Cowboys' results, but how long can this seven-game winning streak go for? Another player who I think has grown this season, and I've mentioned his name a few times throughout the year, is Samoan Greg Marzu. I won't be surprised if he gets the call up to the Tor Samoa squad at the end of the season to play in that tri series. But in this game, Marzu, he made 241 meters, had 11 tackle breaks, and scored a hat trick for the Newcastle Knights.
Taken by Cook, 39 out from the south line, play quickly to Crossland, goes left to Clune, away to Fitzgibbon, what a pass! Ponga over the 20, away to Marzu. He steps straight past Talos Duncan, and Marzu has a three-par. Hat trick for Greg Marzu. Try to Newcastle. 3 minutes and 20 left first half. They've lifted the imaginary roof off this joint.
Don't forget, all NRL games are on ABC Radio Australia. Also, last week, we had the announcement of the Pacific Championships. We'll touch more on that with Shelley on The Long Story Short. But now, let's go to rugby.
Yes, the rugby news. We're slowly starting to count down to this World Cup. It's 18 days away. There's a couple more warm-up games this week. But we had some last weekend or even during the week. We're going to start off with Tonga versus Canada. Okay, but before we get into the the on-field stuff, T, it's going to play something for you.
Asking for the score in English. The score is 28-3. And also to the people who can't 28 for Tonga to 3 to Canada. And those who can't understand the commentating, sorry.
Is this your uncle,
Sam? I'm going to do it in Canadian.
It's in Tongan.
Lala, tell them I'm going to do it in Canadian.
We cannot do it in English. Sorry.
We do it in Canada way.
Yeah.
Oh, how good were the Tongan commentators? And I'm sure he's my uncle somewhere along the line. So
that wasn't real.
Bro, that was the commentators. But it doesn't stop there with their commentary. Have a listen to this.
So they're playing this music at the game, and the commentators.
So there was a break in play because it's like Facebook Live or something. Like, there's comments coming through to say it in because they were doing it in Tongan.
Yeah,
and then there was some people messaging, "Can you do it in English for our non-Tongan speakers?" And obviously they said that, and then. The music was playing around the grounds, and so they've obviously got the Tongan karaoke going, and just got what they say in Tonga is they got a bit mafana in the commentary.
What does mafana mean?
It's a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, like you want to express yourself like that. And the commentators brought a lot of joy to that game, and I was really happy to be able to watch that. But I was more entertained from the commentators. So an outstanding job from the commentary team. But on the game front, Tonga won that game. That's their last game before going into the World Cup. I think they haven't announced their World Cup squad yet because I think there's still some injuries that they need to, confirm if they're going to be ready or not. You know, guys like Israel Folau, Augustine Pulu, you know, haven't featured much in this Pacific Nations Cup. So hopefully they'll be right to go in the selection for the World Cup coming up. But it's good signs there. So hopefully they'll get over there with a full strength team and not too many injuries. And we saw George Mawala, he received a red card in that game. Initially it was going to be a 10-week ban, but it's been brought down to 5 weeks. So it looks like he's going to miss the World Cup. And there's been a lot of controversy around that with Owen Farrell from England doing probably a tackle that was a little bit worse, and he's free to play. So there was a lot of support from the Pacifica community saying there was a little bit of injustice there towards George and not being allowed to play. So hopefully something can happen from it where he gets to play in that World Cup, because they'll need him. He's an outstanding footy player, and they'll need all of his experience leading into the World Cup. But moving over to Samoa versus the Barbarians game. Samoa got up in that game 28-14. I think there was some good signs for Samoa in that game. The hardest thing about playing against the Barbarians team is you don't know what to expect. You got Henry Speight, Fijian wingers, played for the Wallabies, played for the Brumbies. They've scored a try and they've done a nice little carver ceremony post-try celebrations, which was awesome to see. They actually all sat on the ground, did the clap, and they drank from the footy. And I'm sure they drank the real thing after the game. But
Do any Barbarian special plays? You know how they throw those out of the textbook.
Yeah, well, they did a tap play. They did a tap play, almost like a bit of an NFL type of movement where you change late.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it got intercepted. And Samoa went length and sort of stopped that in its tracks. But do you know what's good? Some good signs. We talked about the Arona family earlier on carving up. Obviously, it runs strong in the genes with Lima Sopoanga. I thought he had an outstanding game. His game management, his controlling the tempo, guiding the team around the park, probably what the type of style that you would expect from Test footy, took points on offer. Another player that was a standout was Theo McFarland, the second rower. I actually got to... When I was at Panasonic in Japan, he came over on a train and trial, top of contract, and very raw in the game of rugby, you know, like lineouts and scrums. Positional play, didn't really, you know, grasp it as well, but what he could do was just whack everything that moved, and he could run a footy. And, you know, over this 5 to 6 year period of learning his craft at Saracens, he's absolutely killing it, and he's going to be huge for their success at this World Cup. So I think that was, there's some good signs for Samoa leading into that. The next game was Fiji-France. France beat Fiji 34-17 over there in France. Lucky we have Kempisi Maafu coming on the show to give us his insights on what it's like to play for the Flying Fijians as well as play in a World Cup and what that experience is like. But for Fiji, to be honest, I think this game was needed. Regardless of the scoreline, this was needed for them because they came off a really successful Pacific Nations Cup campaign, not losing a game, and they've come up against probably one of the favourites for this tournament, playing on their home grounds, hostile crowd. This is everything they needed to prepare well for the World Cup, you know, when they hit those pool stages. And regardless of the result, they performed pretty well. I think they'd be very happy with some of the elements of their game. But one area of the game I think I would suggest, or what I saw in the review, is if they fix up their first three phases of their defence, say from a scrum or a line out, if they fix that area up by putting more pressure on the ball carrier, slowing down the breakdown just a fraction more to be able to set their defensive line a little bit more, I reckon they're going to get more results from it, because France, they played up tempo, they were quick, and they just couldn't quite get settled in those first three phases, and a lot of line breaks came from that area of the field or that part of the game by not doing those little things. But all in all, I think it was really good preparation for them moving into the pool stages, and they're going to be firing at all cylinders, I reckon. So that's with the Fijians leading into that. But in every single squad, there's pretty much some type of Pacific talent somewhere. If we look at Ireland and Scotland, we've got Bundy Aki, who will play for Ireland. He's Samoan heritage. And we also have Sione Tuipulotu playing for Scotland in the centres. So plenty of Pacific Island talent across all the nations. And we can't wait 18 days to go.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
After a week past her birthday, she has chosen to join us here today, our PNG Orchid superstar and North Queensland Cowboy representative in the NRLW, is our good friend Shelley Long on The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Shelley, happy birthday for last week. I know you couldn't join us and we did miss you, but I think we've done better than the last time we tried, so still not good enough, but that's why you're here. Welcome on, back on the
Welcome back.
Short.
Welcome back.
Thanks, guys. No, thank you for the birthday wishes. It was such a good time with the family. Good to reconnect with them and spend that time with them. So wasn't here, but I'm sure you guys, you know, are getting better every week.
No, we can't do it without you. You're not going nowhere.
How many birthday candles did you blow out, if you don't mind me asking?
I blew out 23 this year.
Shut the gate. You're only 23.
Yes, only 23. Oh, no, I feel like I'm older. Rugby league does that to you. But I'm only 23.
I know you're looking at two people.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, exactly.
All right. NRLW news. What do you got for us, Shelley?
So some great comebacks this weekend. We saw the Dragons and the Knights fighting till the last minutes of the game. They walked away with their wins. The Dragons beat the Tigers 16-20, and the Knights proved too strong for the Broncos in the final minutes, beating them 22-20. The Sharks were dangerous on the weekend, beating the Cowboys on their home turf 40-12. Tiana Penetiani was outstanding for the Sharks backline with an outstanding 18 runs for 196 metres as well.
What's the plan for this week in terms of, do you review that game hard and then you have those honest conversations, or sort of like, nah, let's just forget about it?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do. I think tough conversations to happen, but we'll focus more on ourselves. I think we won't focus on the other teams like we have been in the last couple of weeks. We'll just prepare for our best ever game. We know that Parramatta, they haven't won any games yet, so they're going to be desperate against us. And as you can see on the weekend, they really gave it to the Raiders. It was a close game as well in that one, so they'll definitely be looking to prove a point and beat us this weekend.
What else have you got for us? I know there's, I guess in the women's game, we saw the Roosters. They look pretty dominant at the moment. Do you think they are now the outright favourites?
Yeah, I definitely think that they are the favourites of the competition. You know, they did have that loss to the Raiders. I think they've rebuilt from that. They're looking really strong. Taron Aiken is definitely helping them from the front, leading them in the halves position. She will be someone that you don't want to come up against either defensively. But I think that they're definitely the favourites in the competition. Raiders are quite close by. Titans are someone who you want to keep a watch on.
Yeah, obviously for me, the Cowboys will be my favourite NRLW team because of you, Shelley. But we also got to speak to Samaima Talfa last week, who plays for the Canberra Raiders, and you know, they seem like they're finding some form as well. It's a close season. You know, 5 of the 10 teams, including yourselves, having 2 wins and 3 losses. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting second half of the season to go.
Yeah, definitely. And I think at the short season, it means that teams have to win and teams have to score points. And I think, as you can see on that ladder, the for and against really plays a part in where teams are landing on it. So going forward, the teams will need to put points on and need to get those wins to secure a top 4 spot.
Also last week, Shelley, the Pacific Championship was announced. How good is it to see the international games locked in and all the Pacific teams having their games locked in for the next 2 years?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's exciting for the female game because it means more games for us to play. But it's definitely exciting for our Pacific nations. You know, the games won't just be held in Australia. They're going to mix it up, take them to PNG, take them to New Zealand. And over the next 2 years as well, I think the more players that we can generate into rugby league from, say, rugby union, the better it will be for us as well. Get those girls in the smaller Pacific nations and get them in the sport and get them the spotlight that they deserve.
For the women's teams, who are they?
Tonga, New Zealand, Australia, PNG, Fiji and Samoa. Oh, Cook Islands
as well.
Yes.
How good is it for Port Moresby and PNG to be able to host these games for our Pacific nations?
Yeah, I definitely think it will be great. The amount of kids that look up to rugby league, it is the national sport, rugby league, for PNG. So I think to be able to take those games there, it will definitely generate more interest and more players wanting to play. And the excitement on their faces, you know, even if they don't play, they'll just love it. We haven't had many games over there in the last couple of years due to COVID. And to bring it back there, I think, is something exciting for them.
And in regards to the women's teams, I'm hearing some news, some whispers about this strong Tongan team that is getting put together. So you might have heard it here first. Keep an eye out for Tonga.
Is that right? Like, can you give us a bit more, like, in terms of drop us a name?
No, I'm not dropping nothing. They're your cousins. You go find out yourself.
Samaima Talfa, yes, captain.
I think definitely with the Pacific Championships, though, it means that players can now go and play for those smaller Pacific nations and build those teams up. And hopefully over the next couple of years, they can get stronger and stronger and we'll see those players jump into the Pacific nations that they're eligible for. Obviously, with the pay side of things, I know that that's being talked about with the international side of things, what payments might look like. Obviously, Australia and New Zealand were able, in the World Cup we saw, were able to pay their players a lot more money than sort of the smaller Pacific nations. And I think that if that gets sorted, that's definitely something that will help field players into those smaller Pacific nations.
That's a nice little segue into our next topic. I guess it's our Boys Don't Know for this week, is around pay disparities between the female and the male game. And we recently saw in Rugby Union with the Wallaroos girls coming out on social media just saying that they weren't happy that the fact that some of the Wallabies payment or their budget went to the partners of the Wallaby players and being flown around to France on that. What have you made from this story so far, and what is the pay disparities between the two?
Yeah, I think it's really disappointing. You know, I've obviously seen what the players of the Wallaroos have posted out. They talked about how they played an international game here in Australia and then the next day had to fly out to Canada, which is a lot longer flight. And they were told that anything beyond economy was too costly for them. Mind you, World Rugby actually paid for their flight. So all Rugby Australia had to do was bump it up and pay that little bit extra to get them into premium economy or business class. We saw the Wallabies fly in business class, and now I've also seen that some of the Wallabies players have reached out to some of the Wallaroos girls and said, look, we paid for our partners to come over. But I think that says something about what they're being paid. Like, they're able to pay for their families and their partners to do those trips, whereas the Wallaroos, they can't even afford to take time off work to play in these international campaigns. They aren't even able to pay sometimes bills, pay for their families to go and see them, pay for their kids. So I think that definitely says a lot about the pay gap between the men and the women's team. And I think that that's definitely something that needs to be addressed and needs to be worked out soon for them.
What is your game doing, Sammy? Talk to me.
My game? It's a good question, T. I wish I had some really crystal clear answers on what's happening, but I'm not too sure. Just, you know, to go on that, like when you look at the distractions that are happening in Rugby Australia at the moment. The men are trying to prepare for the World Cup. The women are trying to prepare to play in the World 15 that's happening at the end of the year. But there's so much talk around everything but playing footy. Like, it's hard to sort of, you know, keep your eye on the prize and just focus on what needs to be done, you know, the nuts and bolts of training, you know, how am I preparing for the game? But there's so much outside noise and distraction that it's just sad to see, because you just want all this stuff to be sorted from the right people that get employed to do this. So we look at the Matildas, for instance. You know, there's 75,000 people at their semi-final, and another 75,000 at the grand final. The crowd support, like, even my son, he's 10 years old, came home and goes, where are we watching the Matildas game at? So the investment is there. Like, the proof is in the pudding. If you invest in the female game, you'll get those returns back, because everyone wants to jump on it. I'm not too sure. Like, what do you think, Shelley?
Yeah, I definitely think when they brought the international game to Redcliffe, it was definitely something that they could have promoted more of. We got a sellout crowd, but the crowd wasn't something like the Matildas game. Whereas had we have promoted it better and got the word out there that that was happening, I think that there would have been a better and bigger crowd. And if we put it in an actual stadium, I definitely think that that would have been something where we could have got a bigger crowd. So there are definitely things I think that they could have worked on and could have done better. But everyone makes mistakes. And I think the only thing with that is when you make a mistake, you've got to learn from it. So I hope Rugby Australia does learn from their mistakes that they have made in the last couple of months and couple of years. You know, Rugby Sevens as well, we've spoken a little bit about that. When they won the gold at the Olympics, they could have boosted the participation of women's sports, boosted that participation in general, and boosted that support. I don't think that's something that they jumped on when they should have. But obviously, like you said, Sam, they've got to be preparing for playing games. And I think when you're talking about the costs and the money that players receive and things like that, that definitely is something that takes away from focusing on games. And I think we need to figure out a better method of getting it equal for men and women, the players can do the best.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Hopefully that things can get sorted, because obviously I know, you know, Rugby Australia, and they're doing their best, but at the same time, there needs to be something more to be done to ensure that we're keeping, you know, our female players actually playing rugby, because they are crossing over to league. They will cross over to AFL at some point. So we want a healthy sort of participation rate amongst all the codes. And I'm not being biased there, T. So I want to see our best players playing in rugby as well as league, as AFL. But Shelley, once again, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And hopefully the Cows can get up this week.
Thanks so much, guys.
Challenge of the week.
All right, Sammy, I hope you're hungry.
I am, and I can smell the food from me. Oh,
so remind everyone your challenge, mate.
My challenge to you last week, after our beautiful rap that we did, both of us.
Yes, yes.
I thought, beautiful is probably not the right word.
What was the response that you got from your family while we're here?
I can't say it on air. It just, there was a
yeah. My little sister, she gave me the old eyebrows. Going, are you sure about your rap, mate?
Yeah, like, I played it to him proudly as well, and they were just, it's just that look of, please don't do that. But anyway, we made it a little bit easier this way this week.
Did you make it easier?
Yes, I did. Come on, mate.
For yourself,
for myself, exactly right. I'm going to benefit from this one. You had to make the famous Cook Island potato salad, which is called the Minus,
I believe.
The Minus. And bring it in for me to taste test, because you told me it was the best potato salad in the world.
And I'm going to stand by that. And like I said earlier, Cook Islanders don't just do it simple. So the Minus is usually a side dish. I've also added some chop suey with chicken.
Oh, so you've gone above and beyond. See, that was the other test.
And a bit of rice.
That was the other test to make sure.
Because you have to have rice with every Cook Island meal.
I know.
So I've preheated the chop suey and rice, and then I've also got the Minus here.
Righto.
In the container. So here I am, passing it over. Here's a fork.
Oh, here we go. I can see that there's a bit of egg in there, potato.
Yes, give us some more visuals.
Oh, smells good too. Oh, I'm going to move it around. And the pink bit, the famous bit of it, is that beetroot, is it?
Yeah, beetroot. It took me ages to cook that. So it's got potato,
It's got peas.
Some vegetables, yes, because you got to have the right balance. And it's smothered in mayonnaise.
It's got sweet potato in there as well.
Is it sweet potato?
Well, you should know. You made it. Nah, that was a test. There's no sweet potato in there.
I was like, I'm pretty sure I didn't put... Nah.
All right, here we go.
My auntie made the famous potato salad Minus. She, she makes the best in the world. That was a big fork.
Oh, wait, that's not fat-free mayonnaise either. That is the real deal.
That's the good stuff, mate. You can't go fat-free mayonnaise.
Oh, wow.
You gotta chew your food, mate. We're waiting for some reviews, mate. You can't just sit there and keep eating.
Oh, can you take over? I'm just going to...
What is doing it?
T's going to just take over Indonesian footy right now while I go finish this off. Stop it.
So I feel like I've been stitched up here with the challenge of the week. Sam's over here just eating away in a way.
Oh, honestly, T, this is... Your auntie made all this.
Yes, yep, she did. She goes, I can't just give the potato salad the Minus on its own. It has to come with the chopped soy. So,
all right, I'm just gonna have one more mouthful of each one, and then I'll save it for later. Is that all right?
And then give us a description, yeah.
Mm.
So we'll start with the review Minus.
Oh, mate, look, where do I start? Just my vocab doesn't go that far in terms of excellent, outstanding. I love the texture of it. It was the right ratio of mayonnaise to potato. You know, sometimes you put too much mayonnaise in, and all you're doing is just, you could drink it through a straw.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got the right balance between all the ingredients. Didn't overpower with like peas and stuff. I know that some people try and skim out on the potatoes and add more peas and stuff in there because it's a little bit cheaper, but that's, you've gone above and beyond then. Yeah, the one only thing I would add to it for me, but that's just me personally. Ooh, some bacon. Grated bacon in there.
Grated bacon in Minus. Nah, yeah. See, that's a Tongan thing, man.
Oh, that's a normal potato salad, but that's
so just... So 11 and a half out of 10?
Yeah, outstanding. Please, what's your auntie's name?
Ngamata.
Ngamata?
Ngamata, yep. Auntie
Hands
Ngamata.
Down. Everything beautiful. Thank you.
All right, so my challenge for you, Sammy, is a return serve. Now, I heard you make some good otah.
I do.
Some raw fish.
Yeah.
Coconut cream,
bit of spring onion, a little bit of chili.
Oh, I like that. Little.
Yeah, just a little bit of a bite there.
So next week, you'll be bringing in some otter for me to review.
Indonesian footy.
Our special guest this week on Indonesian footy is a good friend of mine. It's Kempisi Ma'afu. He's played over 50 times for the Flying Fijians. He's played in Wales and France. He's been to 3 World Cups for the Flying Fijians. Also has Tongan heritage. And his brothers have all played for Tonga, Fiji, being Campo, and his brother Salesi played for the Wallabies. The one, the only, Kempisi Ma'afu. Campo, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What a family.
Oh, mate, talented family, talented. Obviously, Tongan Fijian, I guess, what was that like for you growing up out here in Sydney?
It wasn't too bad, to be honest, mate. I took my Fijian side. So me, one of being the only one of the brothers that can speak all three languages, Tongan, English and Fijian.
Nice.
isn't such a bad thing, you know. Like, wasn't too bad, you know, a lot of Fijian family, a lot of Tongan family, so got around it quite quick.
What was it like growing up in the household, knowing that all three or all of your brothers are going to be future international rugby union players? You know, like the food bill, the competitiveness between you all. What was that like?
As you know, you got brothers, you know, everything's competitive, you know. And me and my brothers, we grew up in a very competitive household, you know. Celesi, if you don't know Celesi, he's quite a big fella, you know. So he pretty much ate all the food, you know. I got the leftovers. And Cookie, my younger brother, he's a back, so he got all the bones. But in saying that, he was blessed with the height and the physique. You know, he ended up with a 6-pack, whereas me and Celesi were just two big barrels, you know, on the wrong end of the stick. Field bill and everything, you know. Mum, Dad made sure we ate well, and we ate well all the time. But yeah, we got there in the end, you know, with such a competitive family. And Dad, you know, he was big on us playing rugby and trying to make it in life, you know. And he came from a pretty long background of rugby players, so it was a big thing for him, for us to carry on the legacy with the family.
So your uncle was Besetti Ma'afu, who was part of that 73 Tonga side that beat the Wallabies. Does your dad, or like, do you hear those stories like when you were younger, and that's what allowed you to, you know, want to pursue rugby?
Oh yeah, mate, definitely. Dad's brother Besetti, you know, he's a massive superstar in Tonga back in the day, you know, through the 1970s, through the 70s and 80s. All his brothers, all his cousins, we have a long line of them, you know. And for us, every time I ran into Uncle Besetti, he used to tell me, he goes, hey, make sure you play for Tonga, you know, make sure you're going to, you call it Tahi, you call it. In saying that, he told all three of us that we can't play for any other country but Tonga. And we said, yeah, okay, no worries, you know. You know, being at that age, such a young age, we were the type of kids to just say yes to everything, you know. But then who knew what the future held for us, you know. That's yeah, it was good. It was inspiring. It was, especially, I think the pressure too was quite high as well, you know, with us, you know, like who we wanted to represent and where we wanted to take, which pathway we wanted to take.
And
yeah.
When did you, or all of your brothers and yourself, when did you realise, okay, this is the pathway I want to take? I want to play for Fiji. Was it at a young age that you chose Fiji, one chose Australia and one chose Tonga, or did it just happen that way?
Actually, it was just an opportunity. So Celesi was the first of us three to crack, you know, Super Rugby. He was with the Waratahs at the time, then obviously made the change to the Brumbies. And then, you know, he never thought in his wildest, you know, dreams that he would end up in the Wallabies. And then myself and my younger brother Cookie, we were trying to crack it here through the Shoot Shield and you know, trying to crack it anyway. So growing up, Dad said, look, when opportunity knocks, you got to take it, you know, and go and full throttle with it and go all the way. So that's how it ended up. Three different countries, you know, like Celesi took the Wallaby opportunity when it came up, myself with the Fiji, and Cookie with Tonga. So we just came across, and then we just took opportunity wherever it came. Dad was our biggest drive, you know, for all three of us, you know, and we dedicate all our achievements and our success to his teachings and his guidance, you know, and led us on the right pathway to success. So it was all him.
Your father sounds like a great man. I just want to touch on your Fijian international rugby. When you did represent Fiji, did you get any hate from the Tongan community or your Tongan family side?
Oh, man. A lot of people ask me, and it's always the Tongans, you know. They always ask me. The first question is always, oh, man, why'd you pick Fiji, you know? And I told them, look, it's an opportunity. I took the first opportunity that came in. And they said, oh, you know, did the Tongans ever give it to you? I said, oh, man, did I cop it so bad. especially when I can speak the Tongan language, you know, and I understood everything. Oh, man, I'm not going to delve too much into what was being said and all that, but, man, I copped it so bad, you know. At the end of the day, my blood is still half Tongan, you know, and I still speak the language. I still embrace my heritage, and I love the culture. So.
And what was the old man's reaction?
Oh, mate, like I said earlier, you know, the old man's reaction was all more like opportunity. But he did say one time, he said, man, I seriously thought you were going to go to Tonga and Cookie was going to go to Fiji. seeing that Cookie's got the, you know, the Fijian physique, you know, like he's fast, he's a back. And funnily enough, you know, Celesi and Cookie had the Fijian names, you know. We come from a strong, chiefly background in the Fijian, my Fijian side. So they both got the Ratu title, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas myself, I got named after a wallaby. And David Campisi.
So you weren't the flying Fijian then?
No, most definitely not, mate. Most definitely not.
That opportunity, I'll never get sick of hearing this, but can you tell me what was that opportunity that Fiji provided compared to Tonga?
Oh, this is probably one of the toughest stories I always tell. I always hope the Tongans aren't listening too hard, you know. Mate, so back 2009, you know, I decided to pursue a career, try to get into the Tonga Ikaletahi team. So I sent the coach at the time, Istolo Maka, an email saying, oh, mate, what would it take for me to get into the Ikaletahi? What do I have to do, you know? He said, look, pay for your own flights, fly into Tonga on this date. There's a trial on this date at Del Favor. Bring your own gear, bring this, do everything yourself, right? And I said, okay. So this is an opportunity. This is something you have to take, you know, when you're trying to crack it, you know. And so booked the tickets, booked the flights, booked the accommodation, started getting contact with family in Tonga, let them know I'm coming in, I need somewhere to stay, blah, 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 blah. Got to the weekend of that same week, Fiji got in contact through a coach that I was playing with at Shoot Shield, who asked me, mate, just a quick question, mate. Is it true your mum's Fijian? I said, yes. Okay, really? Yeah. Fijian born and raised? I said, yeah, Fijian born and raised. And then he said, mate, how would you like to play for Fiji? And I said, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, when's a trial for Fiji? I'm going for a trial for Tonga next weekend, but I can trial for Fiji as well. And he said, no trial. Mate, we'll pay for your tickets and everything, and then we'll bring you up to the flying Fijians. And I said, okay, got a deal. So then... I weighed it all up, you know. Didn't have to pay for my own flights, didn't have to pay for my accommodation, and I was no trial or nothing. I was straight into the squad, and then yeah, I called Istolo Maka, and he said, "Well, mate, good luck with it, mate. We'll see how far you go with it." And then the rest is history, man.
Over 50 games later,
yeah,
GG.
Exactly. Well, and then we've got to progress that. So from obviously with the World Cup, I love to hear your thoughts on it because you've played three of them. But your debut for Fiji, it's against your brother Salesi. You packed down against him, against the Wallabies down in Canberra. Mate, explain to us, what was that feeling like?
Far out, man. That was probably, I think that was more nerve-wracking for me than any test match I've played, to be honest. Because just knowing that it's my debut and on top of that, Salesi's debut. And on top of that, we were actually packing down against each other. So he was a tight head for the Wallabies. I'm a loose head for Fiji. Both on debut, the family sitting in the crowd, half jerseys made up, you know, Fiji, Wallabies. And I was just like, far out, man. This is more nerve-wracking than everything. You know, I haven't played against a Celesi ever in my life, you know, besides the backyard footy where he used to beat the hell of us all the time, you know. But this is like progress from backyard footy to the world stage, you know. And I was like waiting for that first scrum, and I remember going to bind up with my hook, and I looked across, you know, at him, and he looked across at me, and we sort of had that little grin like.
What a moment, definitely, especially for the family as well. Imagine having to go for both countries, Australia or Fiji.
Did anyone favour one side? Did you fight, like, did mum or dad go, I'm going to go more Kempa or more Salesi?
The winning team.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it was always going to be the winning team. Like, they even knew Wallabies were going to win before we even started the test. I go, mum, surely you got to support Fiji since you're Fijian. She's like, of course, son, of course, of course. I knew she wasn't. It was just
look up and she's wearing a Wallabies jersey.
Changed that full time. How do you see this current Fijian squad? Do you feel like they've got probably the balance right, or being able to probably be serious but also still have that fun? Like, is this probably one of the best squads you've ever seen in Fiji?
Mate, they've been to the last three World Cups in 2019. The biggest chat in Fiji at the time was, that's the best assembled Fiji team ever. Ever, you know, just because of all the superstars that they had involved and the way the coach picked the team, he just picked the best of the best, you know, all European-based players. As opposed to this squad that was picked, in my opinion, this is the best squad that's been picked, you know, just because the mixture of the Drua and the European-based players, you know, like we half a squad young and up and coming, and they've got all their reps in a rugby rep through the Super Rugby, you know, the best competition in the world, to my opinion anyway. But, you know, in that mixed with the European-based guys, I mean, I think for me, we got probably the best squad now. And it's that's all due to the coach trying to get the balance right. And, you know, he's dropped probably one of the most experienced 10s in Fiji rugby, you know, in Ben Volavola. He's dropped him and gone with the other two. And for me, I think he's copped a lot of flack for it, Simon Rowalui. But for me, I think that's probably one of the best decisions he's made, you know, even though Ben's my best mate and so and so. But I think it's all for the betterment of the country. You know, you got for the team as well. Like, I think he's got the combination right. And I think this team will do wonders, you know, especially with the pool stages. Pool of death, again. Pool of death, you know, we've played Wallabies. I played Wallabies in the last three World Cups, you know. We got them again in this World Cup. I don't know how it's picked, but I think for us, we 100% got an opportunity to get out of the pool stages. And I believe in this team, and I think we've got the best squad for it.
Can you give me three players to look out for in this current Fijian squad?
Like in the current Fijian squad, probably the most important one to look out for is a young hooker, and I said this a few years back when he jumped off the plane with the 20s camp, and Tex, his name's Tevita Ikenavera, he was the captain for the Drua as well. Young hooker, mate, full of energy. He's the spark plug for the team. He's unbelievable. Whether he comes off the bench or he starts, he's just like, he's another level. He's definitely one kid to look out for. Another one is obviously the bus, Josh Tuisova. He's if you know Josh Tuisova quite well, he's a very aggressive man, quiet assassin. You know, he's always up for the challenge. You know, he knows everybody's always out there to get him because he's probably one of the hardest men in world rugby to stop. And then the third one is definitely Penny Ravai. Penny Ravai is one of my proteges. He joined the Fiji squad at a very young age, and I took him under my wing and, you know, showed him the trade, you know. I like to say I showed him the trade early, and he's taken Fiji rugby props to a whole new level. You know, he's the first ever Fiji rugby prop to play for the Fiji Sevens team, ever. And in Fiji, that's like one of the biggest achievements.
Oh,
not many of them around, I tell you.
Do you see yourself wanting to coach anywhere, like for the Drua or with the Flying Fijians at some point?
Mate, most definitely. Look, when I look at the Fiji team now, you know, it's come a long way, you know, in terms of scrummaging. So I'm a scrummaging specialist, right? And for me, I took a seniority role when I was with the Flying Fijians quite early. You know, my 10-year span, I took over like my last five years with Fiji. And I just thought, you know, look, Fiji's come a long way in terms of scrummaging. You know, we were never on the map back in the day, you know, like. And everything changed when we had the right guys in place and change of mindset and everything. Now Fiji's come a long way with it. You know, I remember back in the day when I first started, there were only signing backs and back rowers, you know, where no front rower was contracted.
Yeah.
No front rower was playing in Europe at the highest level, you know. Everything changed when they started changing the mindset, changing, you know, the vision in terms of scrummaging, taking it more serious. Biggest thing for me was when I went out and started doing scrum clinics out in Fiji, and that's when it hit me, you know, like there's so much talent out here that I just don't feel like they're understanding the art of scrum. So I decided to take it upon me, you know, to try and pursue this in Fiji with little clinics in and around the villages when I was playing. In the next few years, I'd love to get involved with it and really help them, you know, excel to the next level.
So the Fijian Drua, if you're listening, mate, call our man up. He's ready.
He's ready to go.
He's ready to fill that space.
I'm ready.
Honestly, you're a big inspiration to everyone especially Fijians and Tongans. Nothing but love, and hopefully one day you get to be in that drawer change room as a coach, or the Flying Fijians as a coach, and I'll hit you up for tickets at some point when that happens.
Fingers crossed, mate. Yeah. Guys, thanks for having me, man. Love what you guys do, man, and keep it up. Keep up the awesome work.
Nishan knowledge.
It's my favourite time, because I am giving you the questions this time on here on Nishan Footy, on Nishan Knowledge. And like I said earlier in our introduction, that I had something special for you. Now, remember when you played the commentary of your uncle and you mentioned the word mafana?
Mafana, yes.
What does mafana mean?
It's like that warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Yes, so that warm, fuzzy feeling inside mafana. We're going to see how you go, Sammy, with Finish the Lyrics.
Finish the Lyrics.
Yes, I've got three songs for you and you'll be finishing off the lyrics.
So, let me have one more. Can I have one more scoop of food?
No, you can't stop eating that. You have to stop eating that minus, mate. So throat's all cleared. You're all good to go?
Yeah, good to go.
So my first song is Kalohe Kai. It's a Hawaiian band.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Let's grab our boards and run, 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 run to the nearest shore. School is out. Let's go now and hell out the door, yeah. The wave is on fire, the day is getting hot. This is my desire, so once you hit the spot, yeah.
Yeah.
The wave
is on fire, the day is getting hot. This is my desire, so once you hit the spot, yeah.
Oh, I love it, Sammy.
That's my jam, that one, bro.
That points all you. Great work. Second song is from Swiss. So, Sioele Manu, he is the brother of retired NRL player and Tongan international Sika Manu.
I played with his brother Felipe Manu at the Western Force.
So here is some Swiss.
Could you be from Hawaii or Tahiti or that beautiful place of CIE, or from Fiji, Samoa, Tonga? Cause I'm amazed by the way you slow wine.
Slow wine for me, girl. Oh, that's all I got. I can't remember.
Yeah. Take your time, my nigga. Great work, Sammy.
Slow wine.
Half a point?
Yeah, half a point. Yeah, why not? And I'll tell you what. Can you clear up my vocals, though? Make it sound good on radio? Because, Jesus.
You're doing good, bro. Keep killing it. Must have been the minus. My third song is from George Veikoso, also known as Fiji.
I am overwhelmed, and baby, I just can't think.
I want to hit the notes this time, Sammy. Hit it.
And I'm wondering, oh, sweet darling, what did I do to deserve you?
Yeah, keep going.
What did I say to make your angel? Can't go that high.
What did I do to deserve you?
Oh, bro, they're absolute bangers, those songs.
What did I say to make your angel? I turn my way.
Mate, that's the whole point. You just scored yourself 2.5 points here on Nishan Knowledge. Great work, Sammy.
Happy. Oh.
See, you brought out that mafana.
Oh, it's mafana. As I said, apologies to all the listeners. Hope your ears are okay, but I was feeling those jams.
Thank you, everyone, for listening here on Nishan Footy. We'll see you next Monday on ABC Radio Australia, or listen anytime wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.